Welcome back to the Go Ham Podcast. Today we have somebody very special and very insightful. We have our lead educator at Privé Salons, Miss Carrie Smith.
Yes. Woo, one of my favorite people to ever travel with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love She's traveling with Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up, Carrie?
It's entertaining.
Yeah, the conversations are always great. The food's always good. Our activities are always fun with you.
You gotta have good food.
So, yeah.
Always smiling, always laughing. The giggle is, I just love it. Yeah. All right, Carrie, so introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us who you are, how you got here, what's up, all the good things.
I'm Carrie. I work with Privé for 6 years now, almost 6 years.
Feels like longer than that.
I know, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was talking to the girls yesterday, and I was like, why do I feel like you, when you mentioned that we were going to come up on 10 years, I was like, wow, I feel like I've been with the company for 10 years.
Yeah. You're like, I feel like we're actually like 25 years old.
Yeah, but I got to say, I think the reason why you feel that way is because you were a day one person for Wayne.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were a huge, intricate part of the growth and culture at Wayne. So it does feel like you were with us from the start because you were.
Yeah.
So you've been in the industry how many years now?
21.
Yeah, 21 and years. Education has kind of always been in
always
your...
Always been my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that, your journey through the education.
So my journey through education, the first salon company that I worked for, like, full-time, not just, like, as an assistant, but, like, throughout my career, I did education with them. As soon as I had the opportunity, I just, like, jumped on it. It just came natural. I just really enjoyed it. I like teaching the younger generation, and even at the time I was young when I started, I still felt like I was like giving back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Carrie, was this Bubbles?
Yeah.
That you were at?
Yeah.
Talk us through that. Like, how was the, how did they train you to become a trainer?
Oh, they were very big on education from like the day one that you started with them. I started, you know, in that generation where it was like, you know, get to it. You're doing the grimy stuff, you know, cleaning the floors down on your hands and knees type of like, they put you right into it and they started you on education through their company, but they also, you know, encouraged education outside of the company as well. Like they're like, it's a must to continue your education like all the time. And they always sent us to like workshops. They sent us to like Graham Webb Academy. They sent us to like a lot of different education classes.
And all of that was paid for through them?
Some was, yes, and some was not. I did a lot of education outside of the company too, because I knew that was such a strong piece. And the manager that I worked under, she was very big on continuing my education outside of what the company offered as well. But the company did offer a lot of great education and workshops that were like 3-4 days long, or like I said, going to like the academy.
Okay, Bubbles.
Yeah.
So you're
Ann Ratner.
So your position now with our company, you're a mentor in many different ways. So you're a mentor for some of our stylists to as a coach.
Yeah.
Your apprentices, I should say, now. You're a mentor as like a lead educator as far as like building up their skills.
Yes.
And you're also an educator stylist, which means that you work with a personal one-on-one every day.
Yeah.
So you kind of have like a different, many different ways to
educate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. As far as like the apprentice program that we have, what are some of the differences, like a difference in mindset that you're seeing with this generation compared to other generations?
This generation, I kind of feel like, you know, they're so eager. Like they just want to, I feel like they have less fear than the older generation.
Okay.
Of like jumping right into it. You know, like when I graduated from beauty school, I was so afraid to like jump in and do a highlight on someone. Where I feel like these girls are more, you know, not relaxed,
confident
in a lot of, like, they're confident in the technique. Maybe not so much like the chemical makeup of hair color and stuff like that. Where I feel like when I went to beauty school, they focused a lot on that. Now I feel like it's more technique. I think because it's more available, like online,
yeah,
learning from
that
people.
That makes sense.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think, yeah, I think, you know, jumping right into it compared to the older generation, I find it impressive because I never had that confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about the disease, the Gen Zs.
Yeah.
And it
I
has
was
to
like,
be...
disease? What diseases?
No, not disease, the Z's. And I think that they have been thrown into a lot of things.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of challenges that they've had to face along the way, one of them being COVID. But I think it's you're very relatable to that generation because you have a daughter that is a Gen Z. So you live it every single day, like
every
myself.
Day. Yeah.
You know it better than anybody, being a mom
and
an educator. And I'm sure that these girls can relate to you and you can relate to them.
Yeah. I think a lot of the way I educate these girls definitely is the way I parent.
Yes.
You know? And
I feel that way about the way I lead. Yes. Like when I have somebody come in and I have a tough conversation, I just think like, if this was my child, how would I want this person to handle them?
Yeah.
I think that about me. I do. Yeah. So you do take that in a
100%.
So on that note, how do you handle like different learning styles, I guess?
So for instance, like Sundays when I'm with the girls, when we're doing our classes and stuff like that, I try to, when they first start out, they're doing just blow dries, like perfecting that. So I try to make it a point to make sure that I spend some like good time with the girls to kind of get to know their personalities, to see if they're like asking me questions while I'm standing there or while I'm guiding them. Like if they're not ones to like reach out for a question, I try to, you know, make sure that I'm like touching on details and showing them how to do stuff. Because then that means that they're not comfortable, you know, speaking up for themselves.
Like they so need like extra nurture.
Yeah.
Some people just aren't naturally assertive. So like you're saying, and I love that like if they're not coming to you, you're going to them.
I'm going to them. Yeah. And I'm making sure that I'm trying to be like, make them feel as comfortable. Like I never tell somebody that they're doing something wrong. Like I'm not for that at all. Like, I just try to show them, like, hey, why don't you try doing it this way? Because I think it might be a little bit easier for you, you know?
Yep.
So I try to make them feel as comfortable as possible. So it does make them open up more, you know?
Well, that's very important because that can shut somebody down big time if you shatter their confidence. And teachers matter. And especially in high school, I can remember some teachers that, oh, my God, if I would have let them, like, how do I even want to say this? But, like, have such an influence on how my life would have turned out. Some teachers are amazing and some aren't.
So. Some are not.
Well, are you an amazing student?
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I was the best student for those 3 minutes between classes. You couldn't find a better student then.
Well, I think within our company at this point, you know, we have a lot going on and we have a lot of leaders at this point, and we're very big on leading in a specific style, which is love and empathy for the most part. At times we have to be firm.
Yeah.
But for you, I feel like looking at everybody involved, like you are so good at this role because you lead in that way. You're very empathetic.
Yeah.
You know, like you just said, like I don't ever try to come down on anybody.
No.
Even if they are doing something wrong, the way the delivery is always with love and, you know, just telling them like, I'm doing, you know, I want you to do better. That's why I'm doing this. And I feel like that's so important in a position like you have with our company.
Yeah.
Carrie's very nurturing. And her voice, if you haven't noticed, for all of our listeners, her voice is very gravitating. Like, it's very soothing for me. And I just love listening to her speak. And then, I mean, her personality on top of her voice, it's just super gravitating.
We're gonna
she catches
you.
We're going to
have you on
the sound bath episode.
Yeah,
that's why I said I love having you. I love going on vacation. And traveling with you.
You're ceramic colorable.
Carrie, will you brief us on, basically, I think if you could take evaluation on the company's education program that we had in place, let's talk about the flaws, what wasn't working, and then the changes and the things that you implemented to make it more effective.
What wasn't working?
I mean, we know what wasn't working.
A lot wasn't working. It was us three right here.
Yeah.
No, we weren't getting it.
I just think it wasn't, I don't think it was consistent enough. Like, there wasn't, like, set days that we set aside for these girls. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we did have set days set aside, but it wasn't, like, there wasn't a plan. There wasn't consistency. There wasn't, you know,
accountability.
What I mean?
There was zero accountability. It was kind of like, here's the plan. You guys figure it out and let us know when you're done.
Let's take a second to
show up.
Let's take a second to apologize to all the pre-carry.
The ones who made it through that.
Team members.
The ones who made it through.
They're the survivors.
Yeah. I mean, we have some pretty good survivors, though.
We do.
You know,
they made it.
Yeah.
And they're doing amazing.
They're built tough.
I think for us, like we do the thing where we have a bunch of owners involved. Heather, what are you doing right now?
Sorry. I wasn't going to show you this, but I was going to show you later on.
What?
Are you getting circulation on your left side?
I was just sitting like this.
I mean,
your 1 foot's blue.
You're yes. And I'm like worried. I'm concerned.
No, I'm good.
You better let Mark know about that.
So, I think for us, like the way we went through all of these different challenges over these past 10 years with getting this apprentice program built and designed to be effective and efficient, right? That was the goal.
Yeah.
But there were so many times where we would make changes and adjustments. But I think us three at the time being the ones leading the ship on it had our hands in so many different pots that it wasn't a priority and it showed.
Right.
So when you stepped up for this position, it was like, that was when the game completely changed after that.
Well, I remember, do you remember my interview with you guys when we were at the Starbucks? Mm-hmm. And I said to you, like, it's what I want, like, future down the road. Like, I want to do education.
You've
and I
manifested build it. This for yourself. Yeah.
And I wanted to do it with a company that I knew. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
Oh, haven't you heard?
Like, gave a fuck.
Yeah. I was going to say Dana's episode. Wait till you hear hers.
I also think it's important to mention, like, there's no one size fits all apprentice program.
Right.
And I think it took us a while to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And we had to manipulate a lot of ideas and plans that we've, you know, taken on. And I think that you were kind of the answered prayer because it was like, here's somebody who knows us in the ins and out of how we do things. And she's the one that's going to be able to kind of like pass it on to everybody else.
Execute it.
Yeah.
And like what's expected too.
Right.
You know, like as much empathy as I have for these girls at the same time, I'm going to hold them accountable.
Right.
If you're not showing up, I'm going to call you out.
Right.
You know? So, but from love.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm not showing up. No, I'm just kidding. Why are they still here?
No, I think they learned pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I will call them out, you know. But when I do approach them, it's more out of concern. Like, where's your head at, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you showing up?
Right. What are the biggest challenges that you're seeing some of the girls that come out of beauty school and start our program?
Probably, I would say, they're only getting taught, unfortunately, I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash for this. They're not being taught by educators, unfortunately, in beauty schools that actually work in the business.
Right.
And have worked in the business. So they're basically getting educated by students, which is a no bueno for me. A lot of the challenges is they just really don't know the ins and outs of why they're doing something. They don't understand why they have to section the way they have to section for hair color, mm-hmm. or why, or how hair color is even like made up, or how to section for a haircut.
Well, let's be real. I feel like, and going back to like when I was in hair school, I was taught one way of sectioning, and it was four. It was straight quadrants. Down, and it was like across, and that was it. There was quadrants, and there was no other sectioning, and that was hair school. I mean, I don't know if it's still like that now, but I just remember that was all I was taught and all I was tested on.
I guess it depends on like what school you went to.
Yeah,
you know? Probably.
There's and that's the truth. I think it's important that we recognize. I'm sure there are schools out there that are doing things.
Yeah.
the way that they need to do. But I imagine that there's particular students that you're like, what were you learning?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. When we were just at that conference we were at this weekend, they talked about how beauty school is the high school and then going to the salon is the college. It's the university. It's where you really are going to – you're getting the grounding work in high school. And that's the truth with all schools, I feel like. For sure. You know? They set you up for success and then what you do with it after and where you go and end up essentially is your university.
Yeah.
And where you perfect it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, right now you're doing how many days a week or how many days a month doing the workshops?
Three workshops a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you balance that?
I just do.
Because you work a hefty schedule behind the chair, too.
I do. Yeah, I do.
How many hours?
You're 32?
34?
34.
I think 34, but I always add on hours on Fridays.
So you're like 60 hours. I'm just kidding.
With education. Yeah.
It probably feels that way.
Carrie's
but you have to hustle culture. That's why we hired.
I came from that generation, though. You worked. Right. When you came out of beauty school, you were working 6-7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you did not complain. You know?
Speaking of generations, what is driving this generation? The new Gen Z. What do you think is the biggest drivers for them? What do you think motivates them the most?
Clout. I'm just kidding.
Clout. I'm kidding. Instagram followers, likes, TikTok.
What do you think, huh?
I think it's Instagram followers.
Really?
I think for Gen Z, I do.
Are we talking like aspirations? Or are we talking like, are they motivated by money? Are they motivated by time off? Are they motivated by
You want to know what my honest, you just asked me, you want to know what I think that Gen Z is motivated by?
What?
I think they, a lot of them, and maybe not all of them, but I think they all have a mentality where they need to prove everybody wrong. Because everybody has such a bad, not a bad, but I feel like a lot of people have their own like way of thinking about Gen Z. And a lot of times it's negative.
Yeah.
We talked about it this weekend and there were like a lot of negative points when someone talks about a Gen Z. Mm-hmm. How do you describe them? And a lot of people, they were listening at this event we were at, like, they're lazy. They don't want to work. They're this, they're that, they're, you know? And I feel like with Gen Z, they know that and they know that all these other generations feel that about them. So they're very in tune with themselves and hypersensitive to actually try to prove them all wrong.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I think because I have a Gen Z child, I think I feel like I don't think they're lazy. I think they're very hardworking. But I do agree with they need to prove.
Yeah, that's themselves. My son. He's a super hard worker and a great kid. But I'll tell you what, you will never win an argument with him.
No.
I mean, the same about you, buddy.
Yeah, that's how.
You wonder where he gets it.
Apple don't fall far from the tree. They say your firstborn son is your mother's, is an image of your mother.
Yeah.
So
I mean that's Jazz. You shout out to Ray.
I feel like I don't know. I sort of like I do see this and we did just have that conference and that was a really cool little experiment that Daniel did in front of us. But what he basically did was had all the Gen Z stand up in the room and then he asked them, you know, what do they say about you? And everybody went around and said what it was and it included terms like lazy and
sensitive.
They were guys all like kind of negative terms.
I have to be honest to any Gen Z's out there, let me just tell you, they said the same thing about us, the millennials.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like it's lazy. It's just the standard. You are always going to go hard on the generation behind you.
Yeah.
And you're always going to think you worked way harder to get to where you were. They have it so easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the generation gap between my own kids. I have Gen Zs and then I have a 5, 4, and 2-year-old and my boys, they think the girls have it so easy. Yeah. And I'm like, they do not. They're being raised the same exact way you were.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Did your boys carry around like Stanley cups? Like,
I don't let my girls carry Stanley
cups. No, but they
Stanley
did have top notch Burton boards.
they did. Anything they ever needed. I gave them before I gave myself. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I feel like Jazz was more spoiled than my younger two.
I think that too. Yeah. I don't know, maybe since they're younger and they haven't gotten it at teenage where they really hit you up for everything. But like, I mean, all right, you want a baby doll? Sure, I'll get you a baby doll in Toys R Us, but they're not asking for iPhones yet. Like, my boys are like, I broke my iPhone a month ago. I need a new one. You just got it a month ago.
Yeah.
It's like.
I think another thing with Gen Zs, though, is like, they won't put up with enough. Like, if they're not happy,
gone.
I agree with that.
Where I stayed in unhappy situations for.
Ever.
You're right about that.
That's and true. That's great. They have high standards and they aren't going to tolerate it. That. Yes. That's a great quality.
I envy that.
One of the most common things that we find, at least I find in interviews, is, you know, I felt like it used to be the type of thing where we would have an interview and the ball was in my court. Mm. You know, it was up to me whether I was hiring them or not. Whereas now I feel very much like, I don't know if this person's going to want to work here. Yeah. Like that happened to me last week. I'm not going to lie. We had an interview. It went well. I wasn't 100% certain that they would be a good fit, but I did invite them back for a shadow shift so we could get a further feeling of the relationship. And she no-showed us. Mm. And, you know, I'm like, what did I say? What did I do wrong? What did she not like about the company that drove her to be like, you know what? I'm not going. And it's just, it's interesting, but they definitely do. They know what they want. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it to offer, they're not going to entertain it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of like Gen Z, you also are working one-on-one with an apprentice like during your actual shifts.
Yeah.
Talk to us about how you balance, you know, giving your clients the attention and the experience that they come to you for, but also like educating throughout the day.
So I have like that open honesty policy with my clients. Like I let them know, like, listen, like I'm an educator. This is an educating salon. You know, you're going to get twice the service with me because I have somebody working with me like hands on. I explain everything to my associates as we're doing something.
Okay.
And like, it's not going to be something that's continuously happening because obviously once I explain something, they get it. I don't have to explain it again, but I have such a good relationship with basically, I would say 98% of my clients, and they like it. They like seeing me educate the younger generation. Mm-hmm. They find it like remarkable that our business and our career paths are like doing this with these kids, you know, like, I think my clients like to see it. So it makes it easier to teach while I'm doing the services.
I mean, well, think about the truth here. Like the fact that our company looks to you to educate the future shows so much about how much we value what you're bringing to the table. So I can only imagine from a client's perspective, they must see you on such an elevated platform, which is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it the other day. I don't know if I was talking to you guys about it, but the plastic surgery thing, we bring up plastic surgery way too much here, by the way.
We do.
But anyway, I was saying how I went for a couple consultations last year because I need to get this situation fixed. But one of the deciding factors for me on which doctor I chose to go to was the fact that he was an educator.
Yeah.
And he would be on stage educating a bunch of surgeons out there. And I'm like, okay, if this is what he's doing, he's the guy that's doing this.
Yeah, I agree. My gynecologist, Dr. Castelli, shout out. Love that man. But he was an educator.
Yeah.
And like he always said to me, he's like, you know, I have somebody in here with me today. They're learning, you know, and I was like, I get it. I totally get it. I was like, I want them to learn from you because I know you're the best. Yep. So, you know, when I had my C-sections with my kids, they're like, he's like, do you care if I have a student come in and like help me stitch you back up? And I'm like, no. Like, as long as you're there showing them how to do it, I'm down.
I've been there and I've had a gynecologist walk in the room and be like, I'm an educator. Do you mind if I bring in my students with me? And along come like seven kids that are like my son's age. And my legs are up in a stirrup, so like wide open. And I'm just like, sure, welcome. Welcome home, guys.
Do you want to learn something? While we're on this, I had the same situation. We delivered at Lankenal and it's a teaching hospital.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they have 11 kids. It was, I don't even know what pregnancy it was at this point, but they brought this like line of kids in and they witnessed, I mean, I can only imagine because I was like, I don't give a F, get this baby out.
Yeah.
And they were probably like, okay, so as you noticed, that woman was extremely mad.
She's in distress.
Yeah.
This is how you
it's
deal
not
with hostile
your fault.
Environments.
My guy, meanwhile, my guy knows giving them a pre like talk before they come in. Hey guys, this is our fifth kid. She's not going to care about anything. No. Ask whatever you want.
Exactly.
So Carrie, getting back to how you said you like let your relationship with your clients and they accept it so well and they actually love it.
Yeah.
So when I was thinking right away, I'm like, well, what about your new clients that you don't like really have a relationship with? How does that go over? But I think you answered my question because the way you described what was going on and what was going to happen and how you are an educator and you know how you're getting double the services basically at that point, like that was just so key. And I just feel like how can anyone even be upset with something like that? You were so honest and genuine and I love that. And yeah. I love that I could come in and have you. And I, you know what else I love about that too? I also love that I'm not just coming to you and making a relationship with you, but I'm also getting to know your associate and your apprentice so that if there's ever a time I need to get in and you're not available and you call me up and say, hey, I know you're trying to get in, but why don't you go see so-and-so? I'm comfortable.
They already have that relationship.
And I have a backup plan and it's great. And you know,
that's, I always tell the girls too, like, on Sundays, we'll like go over some stuff and I try to give them some like helpful tips on just like being in the salon. I was like, make sure you get to know everybody, not just the people you're working on. I'm like, if you notice that there's a client coming in regularly, introduce yourself. Just be like, can I get you anything? Like developing those relationships with everyone in the salon, including the clients, it makes them feel like they're at home when they're there.
Yeah.
And it does make them feel like they can go to anybody.
That is so important. You know? It's connections are so important. Right.
And you don't ever want to feel like you're walking into like a toxic salon environment, you know? And that's the one thing that I love about Privé is like everybody's friends, you know? And I always say you don't have to be best friends with everybody, but everybody gets along. You know what I mean? Like, and when the clients feel that way, that's, it's even better. You know?
It's so true.
It's like another level of, like guest experience, I think, when you, you know, can feel that vibe.
But it makes the, you know, the girls that are learning more comfortable too.
Absolutely.
I love your, I just want to say, I love your minds, your battle mics.
I literally, on the way to school, this is off topic, please edit this out, but I was talking to the girls about like leadership and being kind, and I was like, you know what mommy always does? I always let everybody else go first. I was like, let them go first and then I go last, and I'm like, you should try and do that today. Lana's like, mom, I did that yesterday.
How come you, like, come you didn't let me, how come you didn't how come you didn't let me reverse out this morning then, bitch?
I didn't see you. Oh, I did see you. I was too far.
Joe was like, mom will let you go. And she was like,
I was paid. I was like, who's that bitch having her car? That's what I was worried about.
My side piece.
I kind of was like, it's going to be a weird situation for me.
I can't even remember what I was going to say. Oh, you, I love your mindset around your apprentice with your clients, like the transparency. Because I think a lot of times, like, stylists can be very like nerve-wracked around having an apprentice helping them. So I feel like having that conversation is huge, and like it just kind of like sets the expectations for their visit rather than just like glazing over the fact that there's like a random person that's working with you all day, you know, and like touching their head.
And I always make sure I introduce too. Like, I think that's a key.
It's huge.
That I feel like the younger generation does miss a lot with introduction. Tell them who you are. Tell them a little bit about yourself. I don't mean like tell them your whole life story, but you know, just be like, oh, I'm working with Carrie today. I've been here since whenever. You know, it makes the client feel a little bit more comfortable. You know?
And it's important also for like your associates to know the client. Even like if there's notes, they should be looking at that and reviewing it. I mean, I had a really bad experience with an endocrinologist back in 2015. I had my thyroid removed. I had thyroid cancer. And the doctor that I was seeing right out of surgery, she was my endo. And I went to her probably 7 times in like 2 months. And every single time I went to her, she couldn't remember me. She would be like reading my notes while I was sitting on the table, and she had me so shook. She'd be like, let me ask, do you have your thyroid? And I'm like, I was just here 2 weeks ago. Like you put me on medication because I don't have a thyroid. Like it was so disturbing. So I feel like if your apprentices can get to know your clients too before they come in, they're just so much more comfortable with you and opening up and feeling
and
confident.
And to touch on, you know, putting the notes in their file.
Yes, that's huge.
That's a huge thing for a stylist to do. Like, oh, Mary, she's getting married in June. Like, just so that I remember, and also for my associate to remember, like, I'll write that in there. Her son's name is Mike, or, you know.
Well, this is top notch. Yeah, you know, like, these are the types of things that the top percent of people are really paying attention to.
But I just feel like it's important too for not just a stylist, but like for your associate or your apprentice that's working with you. Get know them. Get to know them. Know their story. Mark some notes down for you and the stylist.
And also that, you know, as far as like retail and stuff like that, when if a client says they don't like something, make sure you write it down that they don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. If you try to sell it to them again, they're going to be like, what did you forget? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like if you try to recommend it, they're going to be like, oh, we've been down this road before. Yeah. Like, are you just like not paying attention?
Well, speaking of that.
Yeah.
How do you handle, so you're like in a leadership position.
Yeah.
How do you approach like hard conversations with, you know, the apprentices or your apprentice or yeah. maybe even like another stylist?
Sandwich technique.
I go to you.
No.
I'm not great with confrontation. I will admit that, but I try to approach it with, like if I'm not happy with the way something's going or the way somebody's doing something, or if something's just not working, I'll try to approach it and be like, you know what, this isn't working. Can we try to do it this way? Like I try to give it a solution mm-hmm. along with, you know, letting them know something's not working, mm-hmm. you know, cause I don't ever want them to feel bad and I don't ever mm-hmm. want them to be like discouraged or anything like that. And, you know, I just try to approach it like a mom.
Well, yeah. Carrie, something that I think, I'm assuming that you do. I think I know you at this point, but I imagine that one of the biggest things you do is you just say that. Yeah. You probably say it either before you start the conversation or yeah. after that, like, listen,
yeah.
this is tough for me to tell you,
yeah.
or I don't want this to discourage you, yeah. or I have to talk to you about something. Yeah. You prep them in the way of like...
I try to soften it yes. a little.
Yeah. And that matters yeah. to them.
Yeah.
It really does. Because if that delivery is not there, and we've seen it before where somebody yeah. isn't, how do I say this? They're not... educated in that way to yeah. make sure the delivery is a specific way,
yeah.
it can make or break it. I mean, we've yeah. lost people
yeah.
over conversations not being had properly.
Right.
Yeah.
And it, right. it's a really big
or
deal.
Not being had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I love the solutions based
yeah.
like coaching, like offering yeah. solutions too. Yeah.
Cause I don't ever want them to be like, well then what do I do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love yeah. that.
That confusion mm-hmm. that can be, you know, crippling.
So our program, the curriculum, and it's fitting that we're talking about this now because we're in the process of revamping everything
right.
for the 17th well, time. Our digital world. So the main things that we're making sure that apprentices are learning in the program before they go on a level one, let's break that down. It's obviously the technical skill. We
yeah.
need them to be good at it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of digital learning.
Yeah.
And what are the things that we're going over in the digital world?
Digital world, we have a lot of like product knowledge classes. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of certifications as far as like straightening treatments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Which can now be done digitally.
Now can be done
cool.
digitally.
Yeah.
yeah. But I do recommend hands-on, you know, even
yep.
if you do the digital, I still recommend that. But
well, to be clear, in our specific company, we do the digital certification
yep.
and we require them to do it in person with you before
yes.
we give them the go ahead
on 100%.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll make them do it again.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. depending on how it goes the first time. What else do we talk about? So we talk about consultation. That's a big thing.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, consultation is key
mm-hmm.
as far as starting off a service and also getting comfortable with the client. You kind of get to feel, you know, feel the client out during a consultation, mm-hmm. you know.
So one of the big pieces that we're going to be implementing in the new curriculum and the digital world that we're getting into is really about the guest experience.
Yes.
And that's something that, like, I feel like that's part of our shift right now is to
yeah.
make sure that we're educating them from start to finish on exactly, I mean, the handshake, the
eye contact. Yeah.
The professionalism,
yeah.
the asking if you're okay, all of that stuff. Like
yeah.
that's such a huge part of this
yeah.
that I feel like sometimes gets missed because we're so focused on the technical. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
I want to say though, I think that a lot of the times we do teach a lot of that. They know that's our culture. That's who we are. But sometimes it's not always executed and we don't
yeah.
hold it accountable.
Yeah. It's not consistent
yes.
is
yes.
what I was going to say
yes.
because with our training, it's always... It's never the same person. So obviously like everybody does
yeah.
things a little differently.
Right.
Which is fine, but you also don't want it like glazed over either.
Right.
And it's hard to address it on the floor when they're on the floor with a client.
It is.
You can't walk up to them while they're with a client and be like, hey, did you do your consultation?
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
so those are things that I think are key on Sundays to
yeah.
really focus on.
Do
Drive
you
home.
Find that the individuals that you're working with, what's the biggest challenges they're facing?
Communication.
I knew it. I
yeah.
was going to say, I feel like
yeah.
their biggest problem is
yeah.
just being comfortable
speaking
to people.
Yeah. Especially mm-hmm. to adults.
Yeah.
Well, that's the second time you said that in this conversation. So if you say it one more time, it means it's true. Consultation. They say if you say something three times, it's true. I just learned that.
What advice do you have to anybody who's like fresh out of school, looking for a salon home or thinking about getting in the industry?
Oh, find a salon home that you walk into and you see that everybody's comfortable with each other. You know, I think when you see people laughing and smiling and like talking to each other, like at the color bar and stuff, like some people might view that as like, oh, they're hanging out. Yeah, they're hanging out with each mm-hmm. other. They have some downtime. They like each other.
Yes.
I think that's like, you know, a big thing in a salon company. You want to like where you're going every day. Mm-hmm. And you want to be in a place that has room for you to grow. If you're in a place that doesn't have room for you to grow, you know, you're just going to be stagnant. You're going to just stay where you are because they have nowhere to put you, you know?
I have a question for you on the flip side. So obviously, Mon and Alicia, I'm not really involved with the hiring and interviewing part, but you take on these new hires and you get them through the apprentice program or the, what advice do you have for Alicia and Monica when they're looking for somebody, like in an interview? Is there certain things that they should be looking for that you know right off the bat? Like, okay, they're going to be great in my apprentice program. And I'm only asking you this because I found it interesting when we were at our event on the, over the weekend, Daniel said, I don't know if you guys heard him. You might not have been in the room when he said it, but he said when he has somebody come in for an interview, if I look up front and they're sitting on the bench on their cell phone, he's like, I'm done. I'm not interested.
Interesting.
He was like, I want the kids that are the
when
people
that
come
When he said
that,
though,
in.
I will say that majority of the like the people that I've hired that have worked out will be like talking to whoever's working our front desk. And I don't know if that's like a strategic
well, that's
thing
what he
that
said.
They do.
He said, I look for the ones that are coming in, that are looking around, that are looking at my products, that are intrigued and checking out the place as much as I'm checking out them. And I thought that was interesting. So I didn't know if you had anything that you pick up on that like stands out to you that you're like, wow, always try to pull somebody that shows this quality.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear this.
I know I'm putting you on the spot. I know. I know.
No, it's all right. I don't know. I kind of have that mentality that everyone's teachable.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
Well, I have that mentality that everyone's hireable.
Well, I
that's found us.
Like if you show up, that's like the first step, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that you showed up makes me feel like you want it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's that glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
I will work with you.
Yeah.
You know, until you prove me wrong.
I feel like whenever we have somebody waiting up front for an interview and like we're walking them back and they're like dressed to the nines, like everyone's like,
oh, it's staring. Like a new shiny toy that just walked
in.
Yes.
Yeah. But if they're like, and I'm walking them back, they're just like you can like just feel.
How about 100%. Dana's story when she was doing an interview and the one girl had on like a sports bra laying in bed? It was like a Zoom interview.
Oh, no.
And she's like, I swear she was like in bed in a sports bra. Like,
But yeah, they say you should never be laying down for an interview.
Horizontally. Definitely not in our industry. Maybe others. But.
Maybe 20 years ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Would I feel like for any owners that are struggling with programs or educating or, you know, finding a right path to get from point A to point B with their new hires, any advice for them?
Be consistent. Come up with a plan and be consistent with it. Follow through. Don't just say you're going to do something and then not do it.
Okay.
You know, don't gaslight people.
Great advice.
Be honest. Yeah. It's my philosophy. Always be honest.
Well, you're great at what you do. And I think that one of your special talents too, and you said it early on in our conversation, was that you try to figure them out. Like basically like you like to check out their learning style and not everybody learns the same. And you kind of pivot to give them what they need specifically and individually.
Yeah. It's like parenting.
Yep.
Exactly.
You can't parent all your kids
the
same.
Each kid is different.
It is. I wear a lot of hats for parenting in my home.
Yeah.
So Carrie, moving forward, what goals and aspirations do you have for the program for 2025?
I just want us to keep getting bigger and educate these girls and guys that are
Let's be clear. Guys
have
not
have any men, but
they've never really worked out. We've tried.
We've tried.
We've dabbled, but
I mean, we're open to giving another try. Yeah. We're not saying we're not, but
we just have girls.
Yeah.
Just continue to grow and just offer these kids more when they come out, you know, because they're not getting a lot when they're in beauty school. Mm-hmm. So at least give them something to like look forward to and learn from,
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just grow.
Well, we are so blessed to have you on our team.
Yes, thank you so much for everything.
To be here.
Thank you guys so much. Hope you guys got incredible value out of our conversation with Carrie today. Hit like, subscribe, and comment, and we'll catch you on the next one.